Broadcasting from the secret military base in Summit Township. This is On the Docket with Connor Dockery.
Who do you think you are? I am.
Weekdays at noon on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Presented by Knutson Sporting Goods, your outdoor convenience store. Kettlebell Hotspot, where your functional fitness begins. Bud Light, Bella Notte Ristorante, and Tri-County Water. That's good water.
Welcome into On the Docket. It is Thursday, which you already know what that means. We're broadcasting live from our downtown studio in beautiful Jackson, Michigan. Beautiful sunny day today. But as good as it feels outside today, I feel, well, quite the opposite in regards to the Detroit Pistons game last night, especially with how they finished, whatever that was. So we're going to be chatting the Pistons. Tigers wrapping up a pregame series with the New York Mets today. As a matter of fact, a little bit of a shorter show today as we get into the pregame show later on with the Tigers. So we'll be breaking that down as well. But as always, like we do every Thursday here on the show, it is time for the weekly Jackson County Baseball and Softball Roundup, where we talk about all the different teams in Jackson County, where they stand, where they're at, as the season starts to wind down. As a matter of fact, only about a week and a half left of the regular season, and then the day after Memorial Day, that's when we get into district tournaments for both baseball and softball. So we knew it was going to come here quick, and it's already here. Already the end of the season. How crazy is that? So first up, on the baseball side, got the Columbia Central Golden Eagles, who have just been having a phenomenal season, 23-3 to this point, in the midst of a five-game winning streak last week, sweeping Homer. They beat St. Mary Catholic Central, and then on Monday, they swept Michigan Center in a doubleheader. Coming up this week, they've got Hanover Horton in a doubleheader on tomorrow. And then on Saturday, we've got the Al Glick Classic, which we will talk about that at the end of this segment. Moving on, Concord, they're 7-14 on the season. They swept their doubleheader on Friday against Camden Frontier, and then were swept in their Tuesday doubleheader against Bronson. Next action for Concord, they will also be in the Al Glick Classic this weekend, and then they got a doubleheader on Tuesday against Quincy. For the East Jackson Trojans, still struggling, their baseball team, 118-1 to this point. They are on an eight-game losing streak, unfortunately. Their last win coming on April 27th against Manchester. Since then, have been swept against Homer, Columbia, Michigan Center, and a loss against Litchfield in there as well. Their next games will be coming up on Saturday. They'll be, looks like have a couple matchups there, and then a doubleheader on Monday against Jonesville coming up as well. Grass Lake Warriors, they're having a phenomenal season as well, 26-1. They swept Vandercook Lake in their doubleheader on Monday, but they lost a couple of games on Saturday. Looks like a tournament. Traverse City Central and Oak Ridge lost both of those games on Saturday. Coming up on this afternoon, looks like, taking on Lumen Christi. That's going to be a big-time local matchup here. Then tomorrow, doubleheader with Leslie, and then they won't play until Wednesday, it looks like, against Columbia Central in a doubleheader. Hanover, Horton, Comets. They've been kind of bouncing around 500 all year, 13-13 right now. On Monday, they swept Manchester in a doubleheader, and then they were swept yesterday in a doubleheader against Lumen Christi, but pretty close games, 2-0 and 9-2. They got a doubleheader coming up tomorrow against Columbia Central, and it looks like they might have a couple games lined up on Saturday as well. Moving on for Jay High, Jackson baseball. They are 9-22 at this point, but they're on a long losing streak, unfortunately. Since the calendar flipped to May, they have not won a game. They've lost 9 in a row, it looks like. Swept against Northwest, lost 3 to Tecumseh, swept to Napoleon, and they've lost their last two, swept in a doubleheader on Monday against Ypsilanti Lincoln. They got another one this afternoon against Ypsilanti Lincoln, and then they will on Saturday be in the Al Glick Classic. Woman Christie Titans, 23-7 on the season. They're on a long winning streak to this point. They're playing some really good baseball right now. 10-game winning streak dating back to May 4th. They beat Columbia Central. They won 2 against Gabriel Richard. They beat Penfield, beat the other Gabriel Richard. And then since then, they've swept Springport, Our Lady of the Lakes, and then they were also able to beat Hannibal Horton in there as well. They got Grass Lake this afternoon, as I mentioned. And then they will also be in the Al Glick Classic on Saturday. Michigan Center Cardinals, 12-13 on the year. They've lost their last two games, swept to Columbia Central on Monday. Before that, they swept East Jackson. Next games coming up this weekend, Saturday, doubleheader with Manchester. And then they got a doubleheader next week, two of them, against Homer and Springport. Napoleon Pirates varsity baseball, 15-9. They have won their last four games. They've got Jackson, swept them in a doubleheader on Friday, and then they swept Addison on Tuesday. They got Olivet this afternoon. They got a doubleheader with East Jackson tomorrow, and then looks like they won't play until Wednesday, doubleheader with Hanover Horton. Moving on for the Mounties. Mountie Nation, Northwest. They're 8-6-1 on the year to this point. Although it looks like they have not put in some of their results from this past week against Hastings, Madison, and then Western. So, at least as of what we see right now, they are 8-6-1. Coming up, they've got Springport, looks like in a doubleheader this afternoon, and then they got the doubleheader with Bath on Monday. Speaking of the Western Panthers, they are 17-2-1. However, similarly to Northwest, it looks like has not updated some of their games since last week. They had a doubleheader with Northwest on Tuesday, apparently, it looks like. They got a doubleheader this afternoon against Bronson, and then they got a game against Milan coming up on Saturday. Continuing the baseball side, Springport Spartans 20-5. They swept their doubleheader on Tuesday against Maple Valley, and then they were swept on Saturday against Lumen. Coming up, they got Northwest this afternoon. They've also got Stockbridge on Tuesday, and then a couple against Michigan Center next week coming up on Thursday. Last but not least, on the baseball side, Vanacook Lake. They're 8-18. They've lost their last three games, and they've also lost 7 of their last 8. They won one on Saturday against Addison, but then lost to Hillsdale, and then they were swept on Monday against Grass Lake. They got Addison in a doubleheader tomorrow, and then got a couple of games against St. Mary Catholic Central and Sand Creek coming up on Saturday. That wraps up the baseball side. Now for the softball side, Columbia Central Golden Eagles softball, still undefeated. Although, again, it looks like not all their results are in for their past couple of doubleheaders against Chelsea, Michigan Center, and Hanover Horton. But from what we do see, 19-0, they've got, I believe they're also in the Al Glick Classic. They are. Yes, they're in the Al Glick Classic softball tournament coming up on Saturday for their next action. Moving on, Concord, 8-11 to this point. They will also be in the Al Glick Classic this weekend. Looks like they were swept in their doubleheader on Tuesday against Bronson. Before that, a win on Saturday against East Jackson and a loss to Morenci. Speaking of East Jackson, they are 2-14 on the season. They were swept in their last two doubleheaders to Michigan Center and Columbia. Next game will be coming up on Friday tomorrow. Looks like next week, sorry. Wrong Friday I was looking at. Friday, they've got Napoleon coming up, and then Wednesday they got Addison coming up for East Jackson next week. Grass Lake, Lady Warriors, softball 22 and 2 on the season. They just continue to rack up the wins. They're on a, we have an 8-game winning streak, it looks like. Sweeping Springport yesterday, Vanacook Lake on Monday, won a couple of games on Saturday. They got Leslie tomorrow, then they've got Monroe coming up on Saturday for their next couple of games. Hanover Horton Comets softball, 15-11 on the season. They were swept yesterday against Lumen and then against Columbia on Tuesday, Manchester on Monday. They did sweep that doubleheader, so a lot of games this week for Hanover Horton. They've got, looks like a couple of games. They got Jonesville today, Napoleon coming up on Wednesday, and then Clinton the following Tuesday, which should be the start of the playoffs. So it looks like that might be their first playoff matchup. Jackson Northwest, the Mounties for softball, still looking for that first win. They're 0-25 on the season, getting swept to Western, Madison, and Marshall in the past week. They got Springport in a doubleheader this afternoon, Olivet tomorrow, and then they got Napoleon doubleheader coming up on Monday, Penfield coming up on Tuesday. Moving on, we've got, where am I at here? Got lost. Jackson Vikings. Girls softball 0-18 to this point. They're also struggling. Looks like they've got swept yesterday against Skyline, swept on Monday against Lincoln. They got a matchup coming up on Monday against Pinckney. Lumen Christi, they are 18-5-1, continuing their great season. They've won their last 4 games and 6 of their last 7. They split their games on Saturday, lost to Springport, beat Jonesville. Then on Monday, they beat Central Catholic 12-0 in their Catholic League. So they were supposed to be in the Owlet Classic this Saturday, but with that win in the Catholic League, they advance in that Catholic League tournament. So they will actually not be in the Owlet Classic after all. Otherwise, they swept Hanover Horton in a doubleheader on Wednesday. Next games, they've got this afternoon against Chelsea and then Bishop Foley on Saturday in the Catholic League Championship, I believe. And then they got Monday doubleheader with Grass Lake. Michigan Center softball, 11-8-1, getting a win yesterday against Leslie, getting swept on Monday against Columbia Central. Next action, they've got Manchester doubleheader coming up on Saturday. Napoleon Lady Pirates, 14-9 to this point. They've won their last 3 games, sweeping Addison on Tuesday, and then they got a win against Homer yesterday. They've got a doubleheader with Olivet today. They've got Northwest in a doubleheader on Monday, and then they've got the doubleheader on Wednesday against Hanover Horton. A lot of games coming up, looks like, for Napoleon softball. Springport softball, 20-6 to this point. They had a nice little run there. They won 3 in a row. They split a doubleheader with Hudson. They beat Lumen, and they also beat Jonesville in there before getting swept to Grass Lake yesterday. They got Northwest this evening. Then they got Stockbridge in a doubleheader coming up on Tuesday. Doubleheader with Bath on Wednesday. Vanacook Lake softball. Looks like they're 5-0 on the season. Not many games, but they are playing a few here and there. They beat Western on Tuesday, apparently, and then also beat Napoleon and Northwest since the start of May as well. They got Manchester this afternoon, and then got Grass Lake coming up on Tuesday. And then last but not least, on the softball side, the Western Panthers, 14-11. They've won their last 2 games on Tuesday against Northwest. And then looks like they won their game on Saturday as well. Adrian Lady Maples winning that one as well. So there's your baseball softball roundup. But I mentioned a little bit more in detail the Owlglick Classic, which we had Chuck Sprang on yesterday to talk to him about the Owlglick Classic tournament. So that's coming up on Saturday. We've got 8 teams for baseball, 8 teams for softball playing. So for baseball, we've got Onsted and Concord, Reading and Lumen, Jonesville and Jackson, and then Columbia Central and Quincy. And then, of course, a tournament will go from there. Each team playing at least 2 games, and then there will be a championship game at Jackson High at the end of the tournament. Softball side as well, same thing. Got eight teams there. Jackson, Jonesville, Columbia, Quincy, Concord, and Lumen, and then Reading and Onsted on the softball side, split across middle school at Parkside, and then Lumen Christi is the sites for those. And then the championship game will be at the middle school at Parkside from there. So the baseball action starting at 9:30. I believe the softball action starting at 10. And the championship game should start at 3:30 for both sides. We will be broadcasting all three of the baseball games at Jackson High School, which will kick off with Jonesville and Jackson. Winner of that one will take on the winner of Columbia Central and Quincy. I would estimate probably 12:30, but it could depend on how long each game goes and how long it takes for teams to travel and such. And then, of course, the championship game later on. So, should be a fun day of baseball. Keep looking at the forecast, looking like scattered thunderstorms. So, it sounds like we're going to try to get as much in. And anything short of lightning or a full-on downpour, it looks like we're going to try to play as much baseball and softball as possible. So hopefully nothing too crazy with the weather. We should hopefully be able to get every game in, but we'll just have to wait and see. Again, we should be good for all those, broadcasting all three of those games over on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk, 970 AM, 101.5 FM, live coverage starting at 9:30 AM on Saturday for the 2026 Al Glick Classic. This is On the Docket. We are broadcasting
downtown,
and we're chatting Pistons-Cavs Game 5. Back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery. Weekdays at noon.
On the Docket, brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, Bellinotti Ristorante, Bud Light, Tri-County Water, and Kettlebell Hotspot, whose expert coach is a Team USA kettlebell sports lifting representative with over 20 years of experience. A well-structured kettlebell workout can burn calories the same pace as a 6-minute mile, up to 20 calories per minute. So what are you waiting for? Join the team today. That's Kettlebell Hotspot in Spring Arbor, where your functional fitness begins. So last night, huge game. In the second round, you have the Cavaliers and Pistons at Little Caesars Arena for Game 5. 2-2 series tie. Winner will, of course, be one game away from advancing to the NBA Conference Finals, which it's been a minute for both of these teams being in the Conference Finals. The Cavs haven't been there since they had LeBron James back in 2018, so it's been 8 years for them. And then the Pistons, it's been, 2007, I think, was the last time they made the Conference Finals? So it's been nearly 20 years for the Pistons being in the Conference Finals. So massive game, but the Pistons crumble. They crumble late. Cavs force overtime. When this game looked like the Pistons were well on their way to another win. But the Cavs, they make shots and the Pistons just absolutely fold like a cheap lawn chair. And the Cavs end up winning this thing in overtime. So, early on, Pistons were looking pretty good. They were able to build a early double-digit lead, but then the Cavs, really in the second half, able to come out very strong in the third quarter. Very close pretty much the rest of the way until the fourth quarter. The Pistons start to make some shots, start to get a little bit of breathing room. And 3 minutes left, a gut punch for the Cavs. Nice find in the corner from Cade Cunningham, Tobias Harris. Able to drain the three, and the Pistons again up 9 with that shot. With 3 minutes left. Obviously, still plenty of time, but I mean, based on the Pistons' shot-making abilities in that little run, that little stretch, it looked like, all right, Pistons are in a good spot right here. Close this thing out. You got to continue to play tough defense. And you should be hopefully going on the road up 3-2, but that is That is not what happened. According to ESPN, after that Tobias Harris three, Pistons were tracking statistically 96.8% chance to win that game after that shot. Last 3 minutes of the game, Pistons shot 0-for-6 and even had two shot clock violations in there as well. As a matter of fact, four shot clock violations in the fourth quarter, period. How crazy is that? And if you include the end of the fourth quarter and the start of overtime, the Pistons went 0-for-9 with three turnovers. And just unfathomable. And the keys here as well. What did I mention in the show yesterday, previewing this game, of some of my keys? My first key, Cade Cunningham needed to have a big game. And then another key, of course, was to you got to limit Donovan Mitchell because he's been a killer against the Pistons in this series. And both of those were coming to fruition for the first three quarters. But then the fourth quarter, especially the end, completely changed. It doesn't matter what Cade Cunningham did to that point. He ended up finishing with 39 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists. Doesn't matter what he did to that point. He completely collapsed on an individual level. Two crucial plays in that stretch. One of which, a careless turnover. I mean, how does this happen in a playoff game? Cade Cunningham has the ball. Can't remember if it was off a rebound or on an inbound. But Max Strus just comes up and picks his pocket, steals it right there, and then quick score. It's like, how do you let that happen? As a superstar, a MVP candidate, at least top five MVP candidate in the regular season, how do you let that happen? Completely inexcusable. And then in the stretch, free throws. James Harden going to the line. Misses the second one, but Cade Cunningham, you were right there. Offensive rebounds on free throws are completely unacceptable, especially when it's the guy shooting the free throws that gets the rebound. I mean, that cannot happen at any level of basketball. But Cade Cunningham just stands there, watches the ball just go right back to James Harden. Two crucial plays in that stretch. You just can't let that happen. So again, completely disappointing game for the Pistons. They were, again, right there. But they just completely collapsed. Again, give the Cavs credit for fighting back. But again, this was a, make no mistake, this was a Pistons choke job. They absolutely choked. And now they have to go on the road for Game 6, a place where the Cavs are undefeated in the playoffs, to try to pull this thing out. And now, yes, I know people are, you know, pointing at the officials, you know, the free throw differential in this series. For example, this game last night, 38 free throw attempts for the Cavs, 20 for the Pistons. Could there have been a foul call at the end of regulation on a loose ball? Asar Thompson trying to get that loose ball and, you know, kind of got bumped, went out of bounds. I mean, could a foul have been called there? Yes. Potentially, I mean, a little bit of contact. Not too much, in my opinion. I think it, you know, could have gone either way. Depends on how ticky-tack the officials want to call it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I've said this in really any sport. You know, you shouldn't be putting yourselves in a situation to where it could come down to a call like that. I've said it with the Lions, too, especially when you're the team that's collapsing. You have no room to complain about the officiating. Like the Lions when they played the Steelers. Completely inexcusable loss in my eyes. And of course it came down to that that late trick play, you know, ended up with a touchdown that got called off and then the game was just over. Again, was that horrible? Yeah. But the Lions should have played much better to the game to the point that they don't even have to worry about a game coming down to a call like that. And the same thing with the Pistons. And that's just a small example, that call at the end of regulation. You know, I've seen people complain about, you know, how the officials were just in general in this playoff series. Did the officials force Cade Cunningham to just completely dribble the ball carelessly and get the ball stolen from him by Max Strus? Did the officials force him to allow James Harden to just get an offensive rebound on a free throw shot? And that's been a glaring problem in the playoffs as well for the Pistons in general, is the clutch performances have been a major problem. And it even all the way back in the Orlando Magic series. The Pistons' wins were wins that they pretty much had locked up well ahead of going into the final minutes. But the three wins that Orlando had in that first round series all had the clutch performances as a common theme coming up in the clutch. And same thing in this series. Games 3 and 5 in this series have come down to clutch performances, that with the Cavs coming through and the Pistons not coming through. And I think part of that is, obviously, with clutch play, you got to rely on your superstars. Now, both the Magic and the Cavs have had a lot of role players step up in these clutch moments, sure. But I think part of it, too, is this team feels like it's operating with a one superstar basis, not a two superstar basis. They operated with a two superstar setup all year with Cade Cunningham and Jalen Duren. But Jalen Duren, instead of Jalen Duren, the Pistons, it feels like they've got Mason Plumlee. They've got a generic starting center who doesn't really add much. He hasn't really done much in the playoffs. He's completely disappeared. Just last night, how about this? Jalen Duren in 25 minutes, 9 points, 5 rebounds. Paul Reed in 17 minutes off the bench, 10 points, 8 rebounds. In 8 fewer minutes, he did more. In addition, Jalen Duren, a team worst, minus 16. Paul Reed off the bench contributing like that. How about Isaiah Stewart off the bench, plus 12 in 11 minutes of play? So that's been a major problem in this series as well. All playoffs, really. So, again, tough one, frustrating one. Pistons. Backs against the wall again, but we've been in this spot before. Pistons came back 3-1 against the Magic, but can you do it again against a team that is undefeated at home in the postseason? Game 6 tomorrow, 7 o'clock tip-off. Come on, Pistons. Running out of time again. Can you do it a second time? This is On the Docket. We are broadcasting
downtown.
We're going to break down that Tigers-Mets game. Extra inning loss for the Tigers again last night. This is On the Docket, back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery. Weekdays at noon.
On the Docket, brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, Kettlebell Hotspot, Bell & O, Tigers, Toronto, Bud Light, Tri-County Water, and from Pauly's Country Markets. See the deals online, country-markets.com. And sign up for My Market Rewards. Start saving even more in-store today. That's country-markets.com for Pauly's Country Market. See one of the convenient locations around Jackson County today. So Tigers game two of this series against the New York Mets last night. And they lose again. 3-2 in extra innings. Get a great start from Framber Valdez. His first game back from his five-game suspension, throwing at Trevor Story of the Boston Red Sox. Ended up going 6 2/3 innings, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts, 2 walks, and 5 hits. Good stuff. Good stuff for Framber Valdez. Tigers striking early on with 2 runs in the first, leadoff walk for Kevin McGonigal. Dylan Dingler double to put 2 in scoring position with no outs. And then after a Colt Keith strikeout, you have Riley Green driving in both runners. Riley Green, the hitting machine as of late, he's been hot while the rest of the Tigers are ice cold. Riley Green has. So 2-0 Tigers in the first. And yeah, that would be it for the Tigers for the rest of the game as the Mets slowly chip into it. They score in the second inning. You got a couple of singles. And then a 1-run ground out, making it 2-1, and then the game gets tied all the way in the seventh inning. You had a walk with two outs. So a 2-out walk, and then a single putting multiple on. That then retired Framber Valdez for his day. And then a Bo Bichette, a base hit into the Bermuda Triangle. Just a nice little blooper that landed perfectly in between the center fielder, right fielder, and second baseman. So perfect hit. Ties the game. We then go to extra innings where the Tigers not able to come through. Obviously, you have the courtesy runner on second base. You have a couple quick outs from Jamai Jones, Riley Green. Matt Vierling walks, but then Wenzel Perez fly out. So the Tigers come up empty in the 10th. And then Kenley Jansen, who pitched in the 9th inning to try to keep this thing tied to force extra innings. Drew Anderson comes in to pitch. This is a pretty interesting choice to come in a spot like this. And after a strikeout, Carson Benj, single, that's it, game over. So just like that. And a game with otherwise good pitching, as I mentioned, for the Tigers. So not only did Framber Valdez pitch well, but then you had Kyle Finnegan in relief. And then Kenley Jansen after him. Both doing the job and pitching well. Of course, Kyle Finnegan, the run technically did go against Framber Valdez, but obviously the run came when he was in the game. You know, what can you do on those base hits like that? Just a perfect little bloop in the outfield, perfectly in between 3 defenders. I mean, what can you do on those? Obviously, and he inherited those base runners as well. So I don't really fault Kyle Finnegan for his relief performance in this one. But tough. And another consistent problem in this one as well for the Tigers. Not being able to capitalize on your base runners. The Tigers had unbelievable amount of opportunities in this one. And the one that really stands out to me for the Tigers in this one was Spencer Torkelson, 8th inning. You have 2 on, 2 out, but you have a 3-ball count, 3-0. Had a great pitch on the 3-0. Didn't pull the trigger and then ended up getting called on strike. I mean, Spencer Torkelson, besides that 5-game stretch where he had 5 games in a row where he hit a home run, I believe tying a Tigers record as well, but besides that, Spencer Torkelson has been just terrible. This, if you take that five-game stretch away, this guy's just been awful. And you can get away with being an awful hitter if you are, at the very least, a terrific defensive player. You know, and you see this with catchers all the time. If you're a great catcher, and you know, you have a great pairing with your pitchers, then that makes all the difference. It doesn't matter what your hitting abilities are. But at first base in a position like that, which Spencer Torkelson, he's not a game changer defensively at first base by any stretch. You have to be able to hit, and he just doesn't have it. And he's had time, too. Spencer Torkelson has had time, but he just has unfortunately not been able to develop into that guy. We've seen it for flashes, but not consistently enough. Anyways, 3-2 last night. Tigers now have officially lost the series against the Mets, but they will look to avoid the sweep today. Final game of the series today. As a matter of fact, we're about to get into the pregame coverage right here on Jackson Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Kiner Montero on the mound for the Tigers against rookie Nolan McLean for the Mets. So we'll be back tomorrow. Peace.
If you missed today's installment of On the Docket, podcast it at foxsports1019.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to tune in live weekdays at noon on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM.